Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening and welcome to the Man's Voice here on this Sunday evening where most of you are probably cold and got your heaters on, and we're here to keep you warmed up with good conversation from the Man's Voice. And remember, you can join us, and if you have questions or if you want to add comments or anything like that, give us a call at 646-668-8740. Once again, we love it when our people call in and talk to us, so give us a call, 646-668-8740. I want to say hello to the people that are on the line right now with us. There's somebody from Las Vegas, somebody from Miami, and somebody from Los Angeles. Good evening, gentlemen, and there's Darius, so somebody from Atlanta. Good evening, guys, and... how was your holiday? How was your MLK holiday? How about you, Michael? What did you do?
Did you say me, David?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Hey, this is Michael. Hey, everybody. Glad everybody's here. Glad to be here again. I had a wonderful MLK Day weekend. I really did. I spent it with the family. It was a beautiful day here in Los Angeles, so we didn't get our MLK parade. It was canceled because of COVID, unfortunately. But for the most part, it was a beautiful time, and I hope we have a great show today, and I'm glad to be on here with everyone.
Yeah. Well, you know, the main thing that everybody's talking about now is still COVID-19, and the Omicron cases have dipped in the U.S. overall, but the wave is far from over in many parts of the country. And so a lot of people are complaining. I mean, there was in Washington, D.C., there are a lot of people that are politicking to not have to wear masks or take that out of the any laws advising that. So, Dr. Fauci says that he thinks that COVID-19 is here to stay. It'll be something that we probably will pick up in the long run every year. It's something that will keep popping up, just like flu or the cold. What do you think, Ron? Do you think that Dr. Fauci's right?
Yeah. Hi, David. Thanks for calling on me, and hello, everybody. I think he's absolutely right. I think there is no way, as long as 100% of the people are either vaccinated or have had the virus, it's going to just continue circulating and hopefully not replicate into a variant that the vaccines don't work against. But so far we've been lucky with Omicron because it's not apparently as deadly. But you know, here in Florida, it's and I don't know about the rest of the country, but here, you know, Florida is a free-for-all, as everybody knows, because of our governor. And, you know, it's a hodgepodge. You see people still wearing masks, and I do most of the time if I'm around people I don't know. But then you've got people walking around as if nothing's going on. But, you know, you've got companies that are fully back and operational, and then you've got other companies, like I know Bank of America down here, they're not allowing their employees to meet with clients, and they're not allowed to go into the office, and so it's all over the place. But, yeah, I think it's going to be like the flu, and it's going to be here to stay.
Well, what are your thoughts, Michael?
Yeah, I agree with him, with Ron. I think it's like the flu. I think it's here to stay. And I think we need to just start learning to live with it. We need to start treating it like the common flu. I don't think we need to lock down anymore. Believe it or not, I know Darius is going to like to hear this. I'm with Darius now on these masks. I don't think we even need to wear these masks anymore. I think it's time to just put this behind us and move forward and stop letting coronavirus dictate our lives.
Well, Darius, what are your thoughts?
I love my brother Michael, man. I love to hear when he stands to listen to reason. I've been saying this for the longest, man, and I go back to it. We're not going to get rid of it. You know, Dr. Fauci is right on that. That's one of the things that he's right on. But I think we need to stop acting as if we don't know what's going to happen if we do away with these mandates, if we return back to normal life. Like, guys, we have data. We have schools such as, like, where Ron is in Florida that didn't close, that didn't have mask mandates. We have private schools that never closed, that didn't have mask mandates. We have other countries like Israel who have over a 99% vaccination rate. We've seen evidence of countries and states where they have heavy COVID mandates, and then we've seen some where they don't have any. And there is no significant change in the mass mandated states and countries and the ones that aren't. I mean, the evidence is there for us, and the schools, the same thing. We have evidence to support that. But also, guys, I don't know if you heard this on the news, the UK came out on Thursday, and it's the official position of the UK government that there will be no more COVID restrictions, no mask mandate, no social distancing, none of that. They're going back to life as normal. The UK did, and Ireland also released a report saying beginning the 1st of February, they're no longer implementing any more COVID mandates. So what I'm trying to figure out is, why is it still a debate in this country when we've already seen other countries? I think it's either Australia or is the other one, not Australia. Guys, help me out if you can. But there's another country over there that Sweden, I believe, that also did away with all COVID restrictions. And they've been totally back to normal, and they haven't had any surges in COVID cases at all.
Wow. All right. So, Will, what are your thoughts on Dr. Fauci's comment about we're going to have to live with coronavirus as just like colds and flu?
Personally, I just think that with all illnesses and stuff like Black Plague, and we learned to adapt to it and we evolved from it. And I think that the fact that we've been forced to be afraid of it has only made us more afraid of it.
All right. Well, with coronavirus is inflation. And if the prices keep rising, a lot of the people are saying that it's going to be a nightmare scenario. And it's possible to be happening pretty soon. But I don't hear the government, I don't hear anybody talking about inflation and what it might do, because we've all seen prices in stores and gas and everything rising. And no one is saying there's a quick fix to help get it down. So, Michael, what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, inflation is a major problem. It's actually been as high in over 40 years. It's a major problem, especially for the Biden administration, because it's a bad look on Joe Biden. And it's going to definitely help the Republicans take back control, because they're going to run on how high inflation was. I don't think there is a single solution to inflation right now, David. I mean, I hear a lot of different reasons as to why it's so high. I hear because of the supply chain demand. I hear because of all the money that was pumped into the economy during the COVID. So I've heard just mixed reasons as to why inflation is so high. So I don't really have an answer to how to fix it. I don't think no one does. But I do concede that it is a major, major problem for not just the Democrats, for all of America, because everything is up. My wife tells me every day, she goes to the grocery store and things are double what they normally are. So the inflation, we need to get a hold on this inflation, David. It's really a problem, and I think it's going to cause the Republicans to take back control.
I have a comment I need to bring up with you later, but let's keep moving this one around. What are your thoughts on that, Darius? Because one of the things is they've done some researches, and the economists say that inflation will stay really bad until at least mid-2023. So that's going to wipe a lot of people out. But what are your thoughts on it because it's that COVID are saying that it caused it because you can't get the product. There was a roofing company that came to fix a roof, and they were like, you can't get things from England, you can't get things from China anymore because of COVID. So what are your thoughts on that?
You know, it's a lot of people that are trying to pretend like they don't know why we have inflation, mainly the Democrat Party. It's pretty simple. I mean, I'm not an economist, but I know that inflation is caused when the value of the dollar does not keep up with the cost of goods or service. And so when you print trillions and trillions of dollars and put it into circulation with absolutely nothing backing it, which the Democrats love to do, they love to print money and they love to redistribute wealth, and they don't think that there's any backlash or any type of consequences for these actions. So, you know, it goes back to the old saying, nothing is free. So because we print up a bunch of dollars and we said we're going to throw this at COVID and we're going to throw this at infrastructure and we're going to throw this at, you know, student loans, we're going to throw this at child care from cradle to the grave and Medicaid for everybody, what happens is you print all of this money, you put everything in the circulation, and the value of the dollar becomes nothing. And that's what's happening. And the sad part about it is they're trying to say they don't know why, so they're going to press forward with trying to spend even more money, which thankfully you got a couple level-headed Democrats that aren't going to let Joe Biden go forward with the Build Back Better plan, which is going to make it even worse. So, yeah, you print money, you put money into circulation, and then you put regulations on businesses. You don't let them drill. You put all kinds of regulations for the Green New Deal against companies that make it more expensive for them to do business, and there you have it, inflation.
All right. So, what are your thoughts?
Well, years ago, the dollar used to be backed by gold, so inflation really wasn't a problem until the Federal Reserve and then the Gold Confiscation Act. So I do agree. I mean, when you print millions and millions of dollars, same thing with Germany, Zimbabwe, eventually the money becomes more worthless.
Right. All right. So, Ron, what are your thoughts?
Well, I disagree with the last two panelists, and I've heard lots of leading economists also disagree to the statements that were just made. So, you know, it's very easy to blame it on the Democrats and blame it on Biden for printing all this money. But guess what? There's been other presidents that have done a lot more. And, you know, you have to take into account it's not a unilateral it's not a singly dynamic situation. It's very fluid. We've got COVID. We've got lots of things going on that no other president in the history of the United States has faced. And guess what? Check and see what the inflation rates are in other countries around the world. So, I mean, I know that doesn't appease us here because there is sticker shock. When I went to the grocery store the other day, that half a gallon of orange juice, and it was $6.49. And I was used to paying two for $6, so $3 each. But no, I don't buy the blaming the Democrats. There's a lot more to it than just being that simple.
Wow.
Hey, David, I'm sorry. Yeah. Can I ask Ron if he thinks that is not because of the Democrats printing money that has no significant value or intrinsic value, then what do you believe is the cause of the inflation, Ron? If that's not it.
I just said there's a lot of variables at play here, you know, the pandemic being one of them, you know, the supply chain. There's lots of things. I mean, it's not just, you know, and don't take my word for it. Look at what some of the leading analysts say. And, you know, there's people that will agree with your statements, but then there's people that say the polar opposite. So, you know, I just think there's much more in play here, many more variables than what you painted it to be.
Yeah, and I agree with that, Ron, and I agree with you, Darius. I agree. It has a lot to do with the printing. It has a lot to do when you print lots of money and put it into the system. But like Ron was saying, there's a lot of variables there. It's not just the printing of the money. It's a supply chain issue. These products are high because you can't get them because of coronavirus, because the supply chain has been so disrupted because of this virus. So you can't just say it's the printing of the money, Darius. That's not fair. That's one-sided.
And you know what, Michael, you guys are right. It is more than just that. But when you take that in a combination with other stuff that's going on, it makes it worse. So, yeah, I'm not saying that it's only the printing of the money. But when you have the printing of the money and you don't have a strong economy to back it, and you have a supply chain shortage, and you have the Democrats wanting to initiate all these other non-vital initiatives right now, by printing money and putting all these programs into force, and then you regulate the corporations, you threaten them with higher taxes, you straddle and you burden, you saddle the government with all these other regulations, and you put that on top of printing the money, you have inflation. So, yeah, it's more than one contributing factor, but the majority of all of those factors are self-inflicted by Joe Biden and the Democrats.
Can I make a brief statement about this, please? A brief statement?
Sure, go ahead.
The reason why inflation is so bad is not only because of their printing money, but people are quitting their jobs because the money that they get for their job is worth less. So why would they work a job that where the dollar is going to be significantly less than they get it in their bank account?
I agree with you, Soleil.
Hey, Darius, what do you think Trump would have done differently?
Well,
first of all, he definitely would not have done that multi-trillion dollar infrastructure. Well, he wouldn't have done the infrastructure package that way. If you guys remember, Trump did want to do an infrastructure package, and all the Democrats who supported Joe Biden's were against it when Trump wanted to do it. But what he didn't do is he didn't put a whole lot of other pork in there. His infrastructure bill dealt directly with infrastructure. He definitely would not have put that new piece of the New Green Deal into that, which saddled companies with extra regulations and threatened to increase their go back on their corporate tax breaks. He would not have initiated all these other things aside from the COVID bill, because he did spend trillions of dollars for COVID. And granted, that right there is necessary. That's something that we can't control. But all of these other measures that he's taken on top of what we're dealing with is contributing to it, and that would not have happened if Donald Trump was in office. He definitely would not have stopped the drilling, which increases the oil prices, and everything goes up when oil goes up, because everything is based upon the shipment of a product, a good, or a service. And so when you restrict drilling, when you tell people they can't drill for oil anymore, when the U.S. goes from being an independent chief exporter to natural resources to being dependent upon OPEC and begging them to lower their prices, that is a significant increase on the cost of goods and services. That right there would never have happened under Donald Trump.
All right. Let's bring that one to a close so that everyone can get in what their thoughts are or thinking about or want to bring to the panel. Let's see, Soel, what do you have that you would like the panel to talk about this week?
Something that I would like to talk about. What are your favorite memories as a child? And what makes you sad knowing that children can't experience that due to the future that we're going to have?
Who would you like to ask? Let's do this.
Whoever
let's,
wants to
okay,
bring that up.
Ron, why don't you ask
what,
that question?
What's my, my favorite memory as a child? I think
there was two parts of this. What's your favorite memory and that children can't experience in these days. Is that right, Soel? You want to rephrase it for him?
That is correct.
Okay.
So I'm not sure about not being able to experience it nowadays, but I can't think of anything, because I think anything that excuse me, that I experienced as a child, kids nowadays can do so even with the pandemic. But the one thing that I think my fondest memory is going away every summer. My dad was a Greyhound bus driver, and thanks to him, I got to see you know, most of the U.S. by bus, which was, I mean, amazing for a 9-10 year old to be going on a 30-day tour around the country every summer. So, you know, I'm grateful for that.
All right. What about you, Darius?
I think the biggest thing is social media. Let me back up. My favorite memories as a child was being able to go outside in the country, in the woods, on my bicycle, hanging with my friends, and just staying out until the sun went down, and we came home only when we had to, because we couldn't see outside any longer. So children have lost that ability to have a personal connection with one another, because everything now is social media. Everything is on Facebook. And I was outside with my niece and nephew earlier today in the cul-de-sac, and my six-year-old niece couldn't ride a bicycle, you know. And then one of the parents came out, and they were talking about, oh, they have these balance bikes, or they have these. And I'm like, we were self-taught. We didn't have to have all of these tools to learn how to ride a bike, you know. We just had to learn it because everybody else was doing it. But now we're lacking those social skills and that personal connection now because of social media.
Darius.
Very true, Darius.
For the audience, I've had this question asked a couple of times from outside the country people. What does it mean when you say the country? Because most people think the United States is all city. And unfortunately, I think a couple of people from Canada and one from China one time asked me, what is that when he says the country?
Okay, so I grew up.
What that means?
I'm saying again?
Can you please explain what your analysis
okay.
is.
All right. So I grew up in rural South Carolina on a farm, and they called where we live, they called it the country. So any rural area that was outside of a metropolis was called country, and we were called country growing up. And I guess it was supposed to be derogatory, but we wore it as a badge of honor to be called country. But yeah, country is anything where you don't have an urban environment, no public transportation, no skyscrapers, no city lines or city views or any of that stuff. We grew up near the woods and the water. So that's what we called country, on the farm. Self-sufficient.
All right. Michael, can you answer Soel's question?
Absolutely, yes. I would definitely answer that question. But first, I want to elaborate on the country conversation. Yeah, okay. I would argue Darius and I are probably around in the same age group, I would argue. So growing up, it was an insult when someone would say, hey, you country boy, you country. That was kind of considered a derogatory statement. And even to this day, they consider country people to be slow, Bama, backwood. Like, so it's sort of an insult, but it is not, because actually people who grew up in the country, in my opinion, are far better Americans than people who grew up in rural cities. Country people, just FYI for you listeners around the world, when someone from America says they're country, they're actually a really good person, and that's somebody you really want to befriend, because country people are far better than city people here in the United States. Now, to answer Soel's question, things that I recall when I was a child growing up, it was playing football. I used to play football and sports in a lot as a kid, because we didn't have social media, internet, Facebook, blah, blah, blah. And that created a great camaraderie. I have a lot of friends now in my older life that I was friends with as kids because we played sports together out in the streets. But now the kids today don't do that. They're playing Grand Theft Auto and they're playing video games. They're not getting that camaraderie of friendship and loyalty and just social skills, in my opinion. So I kind of hate that. And the second thing, Soel, is that I used to, as a young man, I used to love the thrill of me and my friends going out meeting girls, getting their phone number, trying to get them to be my girlfriend. Well, now the kids don't do that. They're all on Facebook meeting, Instagram meeting. They're not developing that skill to communicate with someone of the opposite sex. So I think those are the two things that I regret that the future kids moving forward won't have that I had in my childhood.
All right. I just got an email from someone who says, tell Michael that the fact that he said city people were no good is an insult to all the people born and raised in the United States.
I'm not sure if I can, but I would like to answer my own question if that's possible.
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
I remember a time not so long ago where you didn't have like a supercomputer in your pocket and you had a landline, and when you called someone to meet someone somewhere, you just had to rely on faith that they would be there on the time you said they would be there.
Yeah, that's I definitely remember that. Good one.
So that's a really, really good one. I was talking to my wife the other day, and she was complaining about her trying to reach me, and I was somewhere in the mountains where I didn't have any reception. And I said, do you know what my mom did when my dad went to work and she needed to talk to him? She was like, what? She waited until he got home because he didn't have a cell phone. There was no way to communicate.
Hey, so
to that point,
Darius, how's the sleeping on the couch going?
It's cold, David. It's really cold.
All right, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Somebody was saying something. I think it was Michael.
Yeah, so in regards to the supercomputer in your pocket, that's a good point because my wife today, she uses MapQuest to go everywhere. When I tell her address, she'll just go on her phone and get the address and follow her phone to that address. Without that phone, she doesn't know her direction. She doesn't know how to get around the city at all because if her phone's not with her, she can't go from A to B. But before the phone, we knew how to get from A to B. We knew directions in our head. This generation doesn't know how to even move around. Go ahead, Ron.
I have a question for Michael and Soel because I think you two are the youngest on the phone right now. Have you guys ever used a paper map that you actually unfold and try to look at the map while you're driving? Because the rest of us don't remember those.
It's called a Thomas Guide. Yes, I remember a Thomas Guide. Yes.
Whatever happened to paper?
In my lifetime, I used a paper map once.
Wow.
Now it's because my phone died and I was in the middle of Barstow and I didn't know where I was going.
Wow. All right, Soel, Bruce just came in and welcome Bruce, but Soel had asked a question and I think you would be good at answering it also. So Soel, can you state it one more time for Bruce?
Okay. What's a favorite memory of your childhood that you remember, and what makes you sad that kids today can't experience it the way you experienced it?
Oh, that's a good question. From a youngster, way to go, Swell. there's so many. I guess what I miss right now, it's kind of it's not a specific thing. It's the absence of something. The IT generation, as Michael well put on a map example, has become so dependent that IT is a crutch. And what I miss seeing is enough human contact. Now, granted, COVID has exacerbated that problem, but my fear is, Swell, that once that's done or manageable or safe enough, that the human contact level isn't going to come back, and that will be sorely missed, and your generation, the youth generation, is going to be much worse off for it.
Well,
I agree, Bruce.
Yes. Thank you, old guy.
All right. We were going around the table, and I don't think, Ron, what would you like to bring to the panel?
Well, I want to bring it back to COVID, but something a little more lighter, I guess.
Okay.
And I think, you know, maybe having this conversation a few months ago, we might have different answers than today. But how do you all feel about Novak Djokovic being turned away from Australia and being able to play in the Australian Open? Darius?
Yeah, I think it's a shame, man. I think you already knew what I was going to say, Ron. I just can't understand why tennis, where you're playing alone on your side of the court, you're outside in open air. You know, I just can't imagine how that would put everyone at risk of COVID. You know, once again, like everything else, man, everybody's just, it's just pure hysteria. People are going overboard. And I think whoever wins the Open should have an asterisk by their name. And they should be as equally as upset, because I know when I participated in competitive sports, I always wanted the other team to field their best players. Because when I won, I didn't want anybody saying, "Oh, you only won because." I wanted to beat the very best. Or if I was going to lose, let me lose to the very best. So I think it should be an asterisk by whoever won the Australian Open. It's ridiculous.
But
he could have gotten tested.
What about the fact that he wasn't following Australian law, Michael?
Yeah, I got to agree with you on that one, Ron. And I hear you, Darius, that, yeah, it makes no sense. But rules are rules and laws are laws, brother. You got to stick to the rules. And so middle finger to Djokovic, because you knew the rules and you lied and tried to subvert the rules. So, yeah, middle finger to him and middle finger to Aaron Rodgers, both of those guys. I don't agree with somebody that feels they're above the law and above the rules because they're a professional athlete.
Yeah, from what I understand, though, Michael, from what I understand, Michael, I thought they told him that there would be a waiver in place, and then once he flew over there, they never issued the waiver, so he would never even come had they not told him that. Now, that I could be wrong, but that's what I heard, that they said they would issue a waiver for him to be able to participate. And then when the public got a hold of it, then they kind of pulled back on it when everybody heard about it.
Yeah, go ahead, Soel.
No, all right. Let me bring that down. Let me get Michael. Would you like for the panel to discuss this week?
Absolutely. I would like to talk about Donald Trump is going to jail, and I want to talk to my conservative friends Bruce and Darius. To hear your thoughts on that, the Attorney General in New York, Letitia James, is hot on his tail right now, as well as the District Attorney in your home state, Georgia, Darius, is hot on his tail right now. The writing's on the wall. Donald Trump is going to jail. I want to hear what you think about that. Let's go with Bruce first. Bruce.
Easy answer, Mr. Michael, my brother. He is not going to jail. He will not spend a night in jail. He will not see the inside of the bars on a jail cell. However, is he the world's most innocent businessman in the world? Heck no. Is all the things that have happened with other people, I won't even go down the list, should they be going to jail? Yes. But you and I know, both of us, Michael, in today's world, the privileged high up in the legislative fields get a pass more than we can count. So, no, he is not going to jail. No way, no heck, no H.
Darius, what do you think as a black man? You know that as a black man, if we would have done half the things Donald Trump's done, we'd be in prison right now. Do you think he's going to jail, Darius?
Michael, I think that if Vegas had odds on Donald Trump going to jail, Democrats would be bankrupt by now, because they've been saying Donald Trump was going to jail before he even got inaugurated. They've been saying he's going to jail. So, okay, they've been trying to put this man in jail since the day he came down the escalator in Trump Tower and announced that he was running for president. Absolutely not. He's not going to go to jail. And I'll go a step further, Michael. Bruce says that he's not an honest businessman. I think that Donald Trump is probably the most honest businessman in the United States of America, because they have researched. They have done anal exams with flashlights on this man since the time he's run for office, and they have not been able to get anything on him at all. And trust me, if they had anything close to a crime on Donald Trump, he would already have been locked up. But no, man, he's not going to jail. Letitia James and the DA here in Georgia, they have bigger things that they should be looking at. When actual real crime is being committed, cops are being killed, people are being thrown off subways in New York City, babies are being shot, and they're looking at, oh, did he make a phone call to the Secretary of State about examining the elections, and is that a crime? Give me a break. He's not going to jail. It just shows the desperation of the Democratic Party and how obsessed they are with trying to get this man.
And let me add, please, Michael, before you get all excited, I will straighten Darius out just a little bit. I didn't say he was dishonest. I just said businessmen at his level and other businessmen at his level have done things that I'm sure people look at and say, well, I don't think that was quite kosher kind of thing. So that's what I meant.
Well, Darius, for you to say he's the most honest businessman in America, I take back everything I said in the beginning about country guys. I take everything back for you to say that about him. Okay. If you think he's an honest businessman, Darius, let's just start. Let's just start with the university, how he faked and fooled those people out of those millions of dollars for that fake Trump university. Okay, let's go with him paying a prostitute $100,000 for sex. If you think that's good business, I would never go into business with you, Darius. And thirdly, in New York, the reason Letitia James is on his tail is because he inflated the price of all of his assets when he needed a loan, and he deflated the assets when he was time to pay taxes. That is a straight-up crime. So for you to say he's the most honest businessman in the world, Darius, oh, my God, I can't believe that, Darius. I'm upset with you on that one, Darius.
Hey, Michael. Hey, it's very simple. When you're doing an evaluation of your assets, you maximize the appreciated value on your assets. When you're filing taxes, you use the depreciated value. That's not a crime. That's just the way it works. And those laws are in place for those specific reasons. And because he took advantage of that doesn't mean that he's a criminal. If he was, trust me, he would be convicted because they want this man behind bars so very badly. And that's why I say he's honest, because if there were a way to convict Donald Trump, trust me, they've tried everything from Russia to versus they've been trying from day one. So that's why I say he's honest.
And
Bruce,
all right,
I want to hear what Soel has to say. Soel, is Donald Trump an honest businessman?
I think he's not as bad as some other ones.
Hey, Ron, is he an honest businessman, Ron?
Hell no. I want to put it this way. He may not have broken any laws, so maybe he didn't commit any crimes, we don't know yet. But as far as his moral standards and his moral compass, after what happened on January 6th, I mean, it's as low can be, in my opinion.
But yet, gentlemen, you don't take any of the people on the left to task on doing so many of the things even worse than he's done.
Oh yeah, we do.
Okay, there you go. What about ism?
Yeah, I knew, Michael.
What about ism?
I said that on purpose because I knew that would bring you out of the bushes.
What about ism? Anytime we point to the flaws of Donald Trump, you go, well, what about you? You
got yeah. What about? Yeah. What about? What about? Exactly right. What about?
All right, gentlemen.
Yeah, guys. I mean, you and what to your point, Darius and Michael, you two are John at it. They made a point on CNN this morning, CNN, that if they really had something on him, they would have him in court now. So they don't, and they won't.
But Bruce, that's kind of what I said. But do you think he is a person of moral character?
I mean, that's you can't say a yes or a no on that. Do I think any one of us might say we're higher morals than he is? Yeah, we could say that. But we don't live in his shoes. We don't live in his world. So I can't say he's a dishonest person as a generic term. Has he probably done some things dishonest in his life? We probably all have. Remember the idea about throwing the first stone? We probably all have to some degree or another.
Okay, well, since you say that, then have you ever banged a hooker and gave her $100,000, Bruce?
What's that?
Have you ever banged a hooker and paid her $100,000?
I still didn't hear it. Something about $100,000.
Have you ever had sex with a prostitute and paid her $100,000?
No and no.
Okay, well, Donald Trump has, so for you to say we've all done something, I've never done nothing that bad.
Well, that may very well be true. I mean, we can't compare everybody's action being the same as everybody's. I'm just making the point that if there was the only person that was pure on the face of the earth got crucified. Look where he ended up. Bless him. But so even the purest of heart and the purest of soul even get themselves in a lot of trouble. And I'm not comparing Donald Trump to Jesus Christ. I'm just making a point.
All right, gentlemen, let's back up for a minute here because we still have Bruce. What is it that you would like the panel to discuss this week?
I'm still really concerned and upset about where our IT world is taking our young generation. They're going to be the ones in charge when a number of us that I can point to will be dust in a box. And that really concerns me because the leaders, both left, right, conservative, non-conservative, liberal, whatever tag you want to put them, we're not doing a good enough job mentoring and directing and educating, I use the word educating, our youth so that they can perform with all the tools they need, especially now with IT and all the cynicism that's on. So that's starting to bother me more and more and more. How about any of you guys? Pipe in. What do you think about that?
Darius, what are your thoughts?
Well, I agree with Bruce. I was looking at a study the other day that someone did on Google, and they were talking about how Google was initially supposed to be use their algorithms to find the things that you like and that you're interested in and just kind of help you along in that process. But what the studies show is they don't just help you find the things that you like. They tell you what you like, and they push you toward the things that they want you to like. They did a study on the elections, and they showed that Google was able to target independent voters, undecided voters, by 80% more for the Democrats during the last election than they were for the Republicans. And this was proven with trackable data that they used to do the research. So I'm with Bruce, man. I'm just really concerned that that the powers that be are going to be able to manipulate and control the minds of our youth, and the genius part about it is they're making them think that it's their own decisions, that they're drawing their own conclusions.
All right.
Yeah, I got
– go ahead, Michael.
No, I got to piggy. I got to agree with Darius and Bruce on that one. The technology of today is kind of scary how the Googles and the search engines of the world, they kind of are dictating our thoughts and what we want and what we think we want or what we think we like. Meaning you can type in just do some research on headphones, and they'll bring up headphones that they think you should like. They'll bring up the headphones that they want you to purchase, and you'll start thinking, oh, these are the ones I want.
Yeah.
These are the ones I really need. And it's not. That's not cool at all.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, Michael, if you keep agreeing with Bruce and I, man, people are going to start
talking.
I
was looking for a mic to drop. There it is.
Darius, maybe it's going to snow in Miami tonight because I agree with all of you.
Oh, wow.
Oh, man. Oh, no.
All right, gentlemen. Let me bring that
David,
to a...
David, we're,
to
ruining,
a,
oh. we're ruining your show, David.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Let me ask you gentlemen a question because it's something that might come up. It could even start another world war, but... Do you think that the United States should help with Ukraine in defending itself against Russia? Russia is being very pouncing on the Ukraine right now, and the United States doesn't seem like they will like it like that. So what do you think? Do you think the United States should help the Ukraine, which then could cause another World War IV? What do you think, Bruce?
Well, I'm concerned on two fronts. I'm concerned that the Russians feel like they're emboldened enough and the U.S. is vulnerable enough right now, and we won't go into why unless you want me to, that they feel like they can move on the Ukraine, on the Ukrainians. And the same token, I'm wondering what our reaction, if that happens in any way, shape, or form. Now they've said if they set a foot across the border, that's an invasion, and there'll be huge consequences. Is that going to get us by mistake or otherwise or by mishandling a situation into another war? That scares the living bejeebers out of me at the moment.
Michael, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I'm actually following that very closely, and I do think we're headed for a war, and I think it's really, I hate to say it, and you guys are really going to think I'm a Republican, but the Democrats, this was on your feet, because when Barack Obama was president in 2014, Putin invaded Crimea, and Barack Obama did nothing. He literally annexed a part of Ukraine, and Barack Obama did nothing. So now that there's another Democratic president, Putin's like, hey, I can take more land because America's not going to do anything. I think we're headed for war. I definitely think that Putin is going to go into Ukraine, and I'm very scared, like you, Bruce. I'm scared for what the future may hold.
Yeah.
What about you, Ron?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, it's very scary. What I'm confused about, you know, I keep hearing in the news that primarily the Republicans, I think, are saying that we need to impose sanctions on Russia now. And then, of course, Secretary of State Antony Blinken said, no, we can't do that now. Actually, I heard former Secretary of State Mike Pompeo say that this morning. But then Antony Blinken says, no, we can't impose sanctions now, which to me makes more sense because if you impose the sanctions now, they're just going to invade. What's there more to pay? You know, what other consequences there to pay?
What about you?
Really, Ron? Hey, you think that'll make them invade?
Yeah. It's like
I agree.
It's like if my boss tells me, okay, if you don't show up to work tomorrow, we're going to withhold one day of pay. And he withholds the day of pay before I even take the day off, I'll say, screw you, I'm taking the day off.
Yeah, I agree. You got to remember this, Ron and Bruce. Putin doesn't care about those sanctions. Those sanctions mean absolutely nothing to Vladimir. So, yeah, I agree. If we put the sanctions on now, he's going to be like, okay, the worst is over. Let's go ahead and invade.
Okay.
Do you think?
Go ahead.
Go ahead. The two of you, do you think, though, that we can't put enough hurt on the Russians that they would back off or think twice about going in? Do you think no matter what sanctions, whatever actions we take, short of going in and fighting them in a war, that they'll go anyway? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
What I'm saying is that they're trying to avoid any type of physical conflict with Russia. We are, and Europe. And so you've got to try. You've got to try diplomatically. But you have to be ready to fight a war if you have to.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, Bruce, don't you think Putin's just trying to bring back the old Soviet?
I'm sorry, David.
What's that? What was that?
No, go ahead, David. Go ahead, David. I'm sorry.
I was just, Soel, what are your thoughts on this conversation?
I think that everybody just needs to mind their own business and stay in their own countries.
Hear, hear.
Hear, hear.
Wow.
Hey, David, can I chime in on that? Hello?
Darius, I would love to hear what you said. Go ahead.
Okay, so, yeah, Michael stole my thunder, and I am so shocked, man. So, you know, Ron and Michael, you guys get the snow plows out and the ice trucks, yeah. The salt trucks. Because I cannot believe that Michael brought up Barack Obama's failures to do anything and how it's such a coincidence that Putin waited until we got another Democratic softy in office to decide to move. Now, I also agree with Soel, except for one thing, Soel. The United States promised these countries that we would protect them, that if they would disarm, if they would get rid of their nuclear weapons or not seek nuclear weapons, that we would protect them in the event there was a Russian invasion. So therefore, we're obligated to do something. I am totally worried about a world war breaking out, but we got to show a strength because, remember, China is watching as well. They're lurking. They want to take Taiwan. You know, we already saw what they did with Hong Kong, and we did nothing. So, you know, in order for us to maintain a posture of freedom around the world and to protect our own interests, we have to protect freedom everywhere because you don't want Russia growing into another Soviet Union where they have all of these territories and all of this power, and then they come for us. And we have no protection. We have no allies because we've abandoned everybody else in the world. And
right,
I think Joe
right.
Biden is making a very, very big mistake in showing. He's got to show a force of strength to stop this. And I think he should do the sanctions now. Now, I understand what Ron is saying about there's no incentive later. But the fact is, Ron, they have troops on the border right now. So if they put those sanctions in place and stop and tell them, unless you pull these troops back, we're going to continue with these sanctions. So there is some incentive
right.
for them now.
But is it a crime to have troops on the border? I don't think they're breaking any laws, are they?
No, they're not. But it's very intimidating and, you know, to load the border with that many troops. So you're right. They're not breaking any laws as long as they stay on their side. But it's
but
intimidating for them to move 100 and threatening for them to put 100,000 troops on that border.
And could I add two things to you and Ron? The next country after Ukraine will be Thailand. And if they take over Thailand, we're even in bigger trouble. So I agree with Darius that sanctions will test Russia, will matter, and we can economically and food-wise and otherwise, we can put a chokehold on Russia, and they know it. So he's just waiting to see what we're going to do. Like, you know, are you going to do something? You going to do something? If not, okay, I'm going in. But if you do something, then he's going to size up how bad that is because they're not a strong country. They're a bold country, but they're not a strong country right now. Russia isn't.
Let me go cross off Phuket from my bucket list.
Hey, but Bruce, you got to admit, America's not a strong country right now either. I mean, we're a very vulnerable country, and I would argue Russia has a lot to do with why we're such a vulnerable country right now with the divide here in America. I mean, we're leaning towards dictatorship ourselves here in America, so we're not really strong enough to go to war with Russia and China.
Michael, hallelujah, part the waters. I agree with you 100%. Where have you been?
Wait, what part do you agree with, Bruce?
What is going on? My head's about to explode.
What part did you agree with, Bruce? What part do you agree with?
Oh, the fact that we're kind of screwed up and vulnerable now, too. You're right, we are. And who's leading the ship?
Yes.
I agree with you. We are vulnerable right now, and we don't need to be there. We shouldn't be there, but we are. And I agree with you. We are. That scares me as well.
Do you think China and Russia will become allies and try to take the United States? You think that's on the agenda moving forward?
Heaven help us if we don't do anything to stop them in some way, shape, or form. They're gonna keep walking forward inch by inch, step by step, until we jump on their feet or dig a trench in front of them they can't jump over. Don't you agree?
Yeah, what do you think, Darius? Do you think we're in trouble between China and Russia becoming allies?
Oh, yeah,
can I make
absolutely.
A statement on this?
Those are the long-term goals. China is definitely wanting world domination. Russia is wanting world domination, but they're not as strong as China. But if they can move and position themselves with enough territory, like Georgia, like Crimea, like Ukraine, then China has to respect them. And so they're going to use that leverage to show force with China. And once those two combine, yeah, the free world is done with. And I hate to say it, guys. I hate to sound so pessimistic. But, Michael, you're absolutely right. China and Russia want world domination. And that's what's going to happen if we don't do anything.
All right, gentlemen. I have one more thing I want to put out there. But before I do that, I need to ask Michael a question, because a couple of months ago, Michael, we all said congratulations on your engagement. And the meeting today, Michael has said three different times, my wife says this, my wife says that.
What?
Did something happen that we are not aware of?
What?
No, the wedding, no. To clarify, we're getting married in June. The wedding is June, but I'm just preparing myself now by saying wife, wife, wife. I'm getting accustomed to saying it now.
or did she say, Michael, you will call me your wife and you will do it now?
Yes, exactly. Yes, she put sanctions on me.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah,
you can't cross. You can't cross certain borders, can you?
No, I cannot.
All right, quickly before we leave, there's one other question that we've had to ask. Do any of you feel that the United States should refrain from doing the 2022 Winter Olympics in Beijing, since Beijing is one of the countries that caused all this COVID business? What do you think, Michael?
Yes, absolutely.
Darius, what do you think?
Yeah, it's unquestionable, unfathomable to me that they would even consider going to the Olympics in Beijing with all of the human rights activities that's going on and China's aggression to the free world. It's an embarrassment that they would even consider it, and I think we should withdraw immediately.
So, El, what are your thoughts? What about you, Ron?
I'm feeling the peer pressure, but I'm torn on this one because, you know, these athletes have prepared for years and years, and I don't think it's fair to them, so I'm a little bit torn on this one.
But what is your answer?
I would
spoken like a true politician.
I am going to take Phuket off of my bucket list and enroll in Mandarin. How's that? I think I would not send them, but, you know, it's a shame.
All right, gentlemen. Go ahead.
Can I add one? Real quick.
Yes.
No,
yes.
I agree with all. We should not have gone, but we talked about this months, if not a year or so ago, if not longer, and we should have had some kind of American games or games in another location, even if I had to wait a year, and we didn't do it. So shame on us for just sitting on our hands.
All right. All right. You've been listening to The Man's Voice. We had a very good show today. We hope that maybe by next week, other than sending me emails and texts, you can call in and talk to us too. So, but gentlemen, have a great week.
Have a great week, guys.
Love
Take
you,
care,
my
everyone.
New brother, Michael. You never cease to amaze me.
All right.
Ron, get your snowplow. Get your snowplow, Ron.
That's right.
I got the heater on.
Thank you.